are on page 447, 448. We are in the middle of chapter 11. In the Hebrew, it is... I think we're at Lache Nidmala Ra'a Yisurim. Avul Be'emes, yes. And in the He English, it's in fact. First word on the line.
Yeah.
Okay, we are talking about Emunah. And that true Emunah means that Hashem is Emunah that he says, first of all, is very easy for everybody. That everybody, you don't have to be a big rocket science, a big guy, and a big anything. This is for the normal person to understand and first to meditate on the concept of creation, that Hashem makes everything to exist constantly at all, every minute. And that therefore, every minute is created the way it's supposed to be. Hashem is enlivening everything the way it's supposed to be enlivened. So now, and therefore, there is no bad that comes from heaven.
Right.
So now, so he says, that's what he says. Avul be'emes ein ra yerd melamayla v'hakol tev rak she'ena musa l'gedola v'rav tuvay. V'zeu ikar amunah. She'vishvila nivra ha'olam lahavin d'leis aser panim m'nei. Okay, so this now is that a person's going to understand that what? That the way that the world is created, it's not gamzu l'tova, it's even better than that. It's the way it's supposed to be. That nothing, there is no such thing as bad. This then needs to qualify as that's what our Emunah is. That's what, when we say I believe in God, that's what I believe when I say I believe in God. Not that there is a God, we talked about this last week, because that's ridiculous. But God is defined as a first cause. There has to have been a first cause. But nothing says that that first cause has to be actively involved in everything that I do. There are paradigms, even by very smart Jewish rabbis, that are different than from what the Baal Shem Tov said. This idea of an active involvement for every minute and every organism was a chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. It happens to be, if you really think through the concept of Hashgacha Pratis, it's the only one that makes any sense. The Rambam has a whole thing with Hashgacha Samin, and the Vilna Gaon came up with Hashgacha Klalis. I mean, you know, so... Hashgachas Hamin, meaning that on Rosh Hashanah he decides how many cows are going to live. But he doesn't particularly care which cow gets killed, which cow doesn't get killed. Yeah, so that means, so how does that work? Because I need this cow specifically for my cholent, and I need to therefore kill this cow, or slaughter this cow as the case may be, for my cholent. So that's my free choice, dealing with this specific cow. So there's problems with, if you really analyze even Rambam's idea of Hashgacha Elyoina, how involved is Hashem in it? I think the Alter Rebbe doesn't discuss the Rambam's opinion here in Tanya, not in Shar Yechud V'Amunah, not over here, not in Simen Chof, where he talks about all the Sfirois, because I think it's just, it's far out and flipped out. it's based a little bit on this Aristotelian philosophy that Hashem is removed from the world, so that he does deal with in chapter 2 in Shar Yechud V'Amunah when we learned it way back when. But he doesn't come into this whole deal, because it's just I never really could understand how anybody could think that there's such a thing as Hashgachas Hamin, special Hashgacha Pratis. Right. There's too many problems with it. I mean, the Baal Shem Tov wrote treatises on it, but anyway. Okay. So this is the main thing of our Emunah, that because of...
Too many variables.
Yeah, too many variables. That because of this Emunah was a person created. Laham in delay saser ponim inay. To believe that there is no place void of him. Okay, so now you can understand why it is that there was a difference between the Rambam and the Rambam. Rambam says that the first mitzvah is to believe in that there's Hashem. Yesha matzi rishon. Ramban says that there's no mitzvah to believe in Hashem. It's not one of the 613. It's a precursor. Because how is it that you could possibly believe in any, do any mitzvahs if you don't believe in Hashem?
Yeah.
You need to just, you can't have first mitzvah believe in Hashem, because why should I do that? What's Hashem? So he doesn't count it as being one of the 613. And you can understand that. Okay? That in order for a person to relate to any of this, well, it has to be, there has to be Hashem. And that we believe that what? That Hashem is involved with everything. And there's no place void of Hashem. Ba'or p'nei melechayim, and by the countenance of the light of the living king do we live. Yes. Al kein oiz v'ched b'mim kaimai. Therefore, we say that there is strength. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Strength and brotherhood, chedva, love, lovingness, you know, whatever, brotherhood, something like that, in his place. And that deals with, you can talk about later on, coming up now, the statement, which is a pasuk from Yechezkel, which is incorporated into the davening, where it says, "V'masharsim karim zel zev v'yamar v'ayim v'omrim v'ayim ukeim kivaydei." The ministering angels are yelling back and forth. Where is the place of His glory? We say it in Musaf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Kesser. Okay, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, what's the deal? Is malachim, which have no chaymer, they have no tangible body, and are perceptive to Elokus. They see their own neshamas, they know what they are, but they know that the Elokus is even greater. And so they're calling back and forth, where is it? And we know it's here someplace. So where is it? So, okay, so that it's, we say, so that what is in his place? Eiz v'chedva, power and brotherhood. That's what's in his place. And being that Hashem is only good all the time, al kein reishis hakol sheyismach ha'adam v'yagel b'chol eis v'shah. If that is the case, that we know Hashem is in control, and everything is the way that it's supposed to be, so what should a person do? A person should be happy and should be celebrating at every moment and every time. And really enliven himself. The word v'yichi is similar like mechaya. Not just breathe, but live a joyous life. A mechaya. With this amun in Hashem, Hamachaya, I'm waiting for to get to the period. Hamachaya umeitiv imay b'chol raga, who enlivens and does good with him every single moment. So then what happens? What do we just do? Are you there? The point being that what the Alter Rebbe just did is he took away problems. There's no problems. There's no worries. Everything's happening the way it's supposed to happen. Are we resigning ourselves? No. Are we, what's the word I want to, what's the people who just give up on everything? No. We're not that at all. I mean, Jews are not of the type that just will say, well, it was divine providence and I'll let it go. There's ramifications for everybody's action. Because that's also divine providence. If a person hits somebody, so you can't just say, oh, it's Ashkacha Pratis, you got hit. Okay, the truth is, it is Ashkacha Pratis that he got hit, but it's Ashkacha Pratis that the guy who hit him is going to get hauled in the court and have to suffer the consequences of hitting him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's where the person's free choice came in. Didn't have to hit him, something else could have hit him. The guy had to be hit, he could have been knocked in the head by a brick that fell off of a building. Who knows? You know? So, It didn't have to be. It didn't have to be this guy. So this guy who did it, he's got to suffer the consequences, and those consequences will also be divine providence.
Okay. There. I don't know if I should bring this up now, but my son and I got this discussion over the week, over Shabbos.
Yeah.
Concerning the Sitra Achra.
Yes.
You know, we said there's no evil in the world, but yet there is Sitra Achra in the world. Isn't that?
Where does the Sitra Achra come from?
Only to understand.
Yeah, you're breaking up, but it came from Hashem, obviously. So Hashem created it. If Hashem created it, is it bad? Could it be bad? We want to say...
It does what it does. It,
yeah, it's pre-programmed. You know?
You said this in one of your very early streams I was listening to today.
Yeah.
This exact same thing about how they're broken up and like it's like an eggshell in your omelet. And
uh-huh, the whole business.
Yeah.
So is it supposed to be here? Yeah, it's supposed to be here because Hashem put it here. And there's nothing here that shouldn't be here. So therefore, you're going to have to say, I mean, the Gemara says it clearly.
It's supposed to be here. That's
correct.
Not the question.
So if it's supposed to be here, could it possibly be bad? You might think so, but we're very myopic.
I guess in this case you got to define what's the difference between evil and bad. And what?
Oh, exactly. That's exactly it. It's not wrong. It's evil.
Yeah. Okay,
that's a great set too.
Okay, as it says, in the Gemara that on the sixth day of creation, it says Hashem saw that it was good, and Hashem said it was Toiv Ma'ayr. He saw that it was very good.
Right.
So the Gemara says Toiv Zayetzahara, Toiv Ma'ayr, Toiv Zayetzah, Toiv Ma'ayr Zayetzahara. That the Toiv Ma'ayr is the Yetzahara. Why? Because if you just have a Yetzer Toiv, so you'll be a good guy. Everything will be great. Fine, wonderful. But if a person has a Yetzahara, so now they overcome the Yetzahara, so that's even better than a person who doesn't have a Yetzahara. So it's better to withstand all the tests than not be tested at all.
Right.
Okay, so therefore the tests are not bad, they're just tests. Okay. I mean, you feel lousy when you fail them, but...
Yeah, okay, that's a given. But the difference between... this may not be the realm to discuss this, and maybe we should approach this differently, but I'm trying to get my head around, then, the idea of Klipas Nova and Sitra Achra and how they fit in the scheme of this, I guess.
Right, because the problem is that we, being raised in a Christian culture, really get affected by the pantheism of which Christianity is based.
Right.
There's no two powers. It's not good versus evil.
Mm-hmm. No, cross the shell. No.
Christianity.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. The evil was created for us to overcome.
Right.
Yeah.
In the truest sense of the word, it's a gift.
Yeah, exactly. Don't love me. Like my mother would say, don't love me so much.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, yeah. So as far as Sitra Achra, Sitra Achra is there, why? Because we have to say, no, I'm not allowed to have that.
Yeah.
Okay? Klipas Noga is there, what? That's it. Listen, I got to eat. I have to do it, but I'm going to do it in order to serve Hashem. And in fact, it could very well be that dealing with Klipas Noga is harder than dealing with Sitra, than Sholosh Klipas Atameus. Because if something is totally and completely forbidden, so what do I do with it? Nothing. I walk away from it. I have nothing to do with it. But if something which is Klipas Noga, which means I have a responsibility of elevating it to Kedusha, that means I have to work with it, and I have to elevate it to Kedusha, not that it should schlep me down into Klipa. That's a real fight.
So let's take a for instance. Any non-kosher food, the truth is that that's not it's her offer. It creeps longer, but I'm just not supposed to deal with to bother with it.
Well,
then if I fool with it, then it becomes then I put it in the realm of Sitra Achra, yes?
Sitra Achra, the way the Altar defines Sitra Achra is anything which isn't holy.
Anything what?
Anything which is not holy.
Not holy.
It's a trade food. That's
no.
About everything.
Yeah, that's basically everything until you make it holy.
Right.
So that cow is not holy until you make it into Tefillin or Cholent.
Uh-huh.
It's Klippas Noga. And it's deriving its life force from Klippa. Whereas once a person now is using it for Kedusha, so now it's deriving its life force from Kedusha.
Right, okay. So let's Klippas Noga. Because it can go either way.
Yes, Klippas Noga can go either way by definition.
Right.
Shal Shilpas as an Aeus, you got nothing to worry about. You just leave it alone.
Is there anything intrinsically that exists in this world as an entity that's called Sitra Achra?
Yeah, everything that's not holy. I don't understand what your question is.
No, but a cow is...
The question is, why then are there two terms, Klippa and Sitra Achra? I think we discussed this maybe back in Chapter 6 when he introduced the idea of Klippa. So, Klippa, the word Klippa indicates that it's a necessary thing. Mm-hmm. If you have the expression, my mother-in-law used to have the expression, he's walking around with eggs in his pocket. You know, like the guy was really like totally messed up, you know. But I used to say, if you have an egg in your pocket, it's a really good thing that it have a shell around it.
Yeah.
But if you're eating an omelet, it's a really bad thing if there's any shell in it. So Klippa performs a necessary function in the creation in that it acts as an initial protector to Kedusha. And what we do with our Aveda is to elevate the sparks of holiness from Klippa.
Okay.
Sitra Achra, on the other hand, implies that the translation Sitra Achra is other side. And he says, other side of what? Other side of holiness.
All right.
That this is something we shouldn't be involved with. Because...
Behind
the back, the whole thing. Okay. Because Sitra Achra, even if you're using the term Klippas Noga, so we don't want you being involved with Sitra Achra. We want you to be involved with the Kedusha, which is contained within the Klippas Noga, but not the Klippa part, not the Sitra Achra part, not the other side. So it's two different connotations, and generally in the Zohar they went together. And in the Tanya for sure, it's always, the expression is Klippa v'Sitra Achra.
Mm-hmm.
They always come together.
So you're telling me it's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Sitra Achra being... quote-unquote, the negative side, Klippas Noga being the potential positive side.
Correct.
Okay, all right, good. Okay.
Good.
You mentioned in the share I was listening to earlier that, like, Autumn, like, knew about the Sitra Achra, or, like, to him was something that was, like...
It was out there.
Yeah, it wasn't something that was a part
of superficial,
the
yeah.
Right.
So you couldn't relate to it.
Right.
Okay.
Until it came into the world.
Right, and he saw what a big mess he made of everything.
Thank okay. you very much.
You really would never say that an eggshell is evil until you accidentally bit into one in the middle of an egg. Then you would say, wow, that's evil.
When we perceive it that way.
That is really bad. When you go crunch. Yeah, that's a really bad feeling. Yes.
Yes, okay.
Now, so up to the first one line that we're up to is a machayer, just above the middle of the page.
Okay.
A person who gets depressed and is in mourning, and he sees himself that there is a little bit of evil, and he's got afflictions. He's missing some good. That person is a denier. He actually says, Kikoifer. He's like a denier.
Right.
He's not really actually denying the existence of Hashem, but he's saying that everything in the world is happening according to Hashem except this.
Mm-hmm.
If it is that I have this problem now, this whole thing went wrong, this stinks. So that means that what? Hashem is running the world very well, except he made one mistake right here. That's called a denier. So he says it's Kikaifer. That's why you have whole books written about how bad depression is. But just the Baal Shem Tov says that there is one sin that is no sin, that is worse than any sin, and that's depression.
Hmm.
One of the major tenets of Hasidic philosophy is Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, serve Hashem with joy. And the Baal Shem Tov even wanted to say you have to do tshuva with joy, you should mourn with joy. Everything, if you have an opportunity of somehow serving Hashem, you should look at it as a big schus, and that you're able to serve Hashem with, you're able to serve Hashem, and therefore, why shouldn't you be happy? Of course you should be happy.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what he says now. A person who truly believes in Hashem, he's not worried about pains, afflictions of the world, anything happening in the world. Hain v'lav, shavin etzlo, good and bad, it's all the same. Now again, this person is—it's not to say that this person is out of tune, or this person is a moron. You know, it's like it's obvious. It says, would you rather that I gave you a brand new car, or I took a gun and shot you in the shoulder?
Oh,
they're both good. Everything's coming from Hashem. It's really good. No, we're not going to expect a person to be that stupid. Okay? And a person is not that stupid. And I guess what? Adam Arishon was not stupid either. Adam Arishon, I would say he knew particle physics. I would say that he knew advanced calculus. He knew the secrets of how to make a creation. You know, Adam was not dumb.
Into what all the animals should be called, their function.
Yeah, he was able to look at something and say, this is how the Elokus is creating it.
This is what it, yeah, exactly.
And he was able to recognize Hashem.
Sure.
Hashem said, what am I called? He said, oh, you're Adonai, you're the boss. So Adam wasn't stupid. He wasn't like a walking around like this big two-year-old naked. No, he was very smart. It's just that the whole concept of what we refer to as being naked wasn't a thing. Okay? You walk around with your hands exposed. Do you think about it at all? No, you don't think about it. No one ever walks around, oh, my hands are naked. Except when it's freezing cold outside. So, you don't even think about it. So his, just like our, we have fingernails on only the end of our fingers. So he had fingernails over, he had body nails. So for him, his whole body was like a hand.
Right.
It was no big deal. This is the way it's supposed to, you know, there's nothing wrong, you know. I walk around with my hands exposed, I walk around with my whole body exposed if I'm Adam. Okay? And you see also, by Shaul HaMelech. When Shaul HaMelech went into the camp, I give it a Nob, and he started prophesizing.
Mm-hmm.
By Nob. He started prophesizing. What did he do? He took off his clothes. Why? Because in his state of prophecy, he achieved Garden of Eden. There's nothing wrong with not having clothes. That's the level of prophecy that Shaul HaMelech reached.
Right.
He's referred to as a Meshuggah. Oh, look at this Meshuggah that he took off all his clothes. In public, no less. Okay?
Yeah.
So, but that means that when we say that good and bad is equal, so a bill came in the mail today. Should you be excited that the bill came in the mail today? No. Because the same way that the bill came in the mail today, so the money will find its way in your account also. Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so And it's not, like I say again, it's not rocket science. And you don't have to be a big guyan to achieve this. I've been, since I'm married and I've had bills, when I was a bachur, I didn't have any bills. I had to worry about it. You know, I had no money, but I had nothing to buy either. You know, so, and anytime I had money, I bought books. Because I figured if I bought books, I bought clothes. Clothes will wear out. Books don't wear out. Unless, of course, they get stuck in a flood. But anyway.
Yeah.
But we can thank FEMA for that. Anyway, that's why we have FEMA, to pay for things like that. So I didn't worry about them either when they got in the flood. So the so when it's sitting down to pay bills, it was always been, okay, here's the bills. We'll send them out. And okay, God, you make sure that the money gets to cover the bills. Okay? It's not, I don't consider myself to be a great scholarly, righteous, sage type person. And if you think I'm just being humble, you could ask my wife. She'll agree with me. Anyway, so that, so it doesn't, this is the way that a person has to live their lives. And it's just, is it my nature? I can't tell you if it's my nature or not. Because I only started learning about this, or feeling like this, when I learned that this is the way you're supposed to feel. So it could very well be that this is my nature, that I just don't get excited about things. But it could be also 40 years of studying Hasidus. I have no way of knowing. It's like people ask me, what is it like to be tall? I tell them I don't know. Because I don't know what to compare it to. I've never been short.
Right.
Let's say I was short when I was like 5, but even then I was tall. So. Vehain v'lav shavin eslov v'hishavas amitis. He takes it one step further. That good and bad to him are equal with a true equalness. The Alter Rebbe doesn't throw around the word true. Right. If he's saying true, he means it. It's not something, okay, it's like they have these things also about not getting angry. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have anger, it's like idolatry that comes up in later on, chapter 25, was it, of Agaris HaKadosh. We just had it in Chitas not too long ago. It says, okay, so you're not supposed to get angry. So what does a person do? Clenches his teeth and says, I am not angry! No. That's all he's doing now at that point is just gonna give himself apoplexy. Okay? No. It's that it's not even getting the person angry. So this person's not even upset. This person's not depressed. This person doesn't even realize that they have a problem. This person doesn't have a problem. It's not that I can fight problems good. I have this problem, I have that problem, I have this problem, mm-hmm. and by gum, I'm going to tackle those problems. No, it's not a problem.
There's no problem.
Yeah. Okay, you wake up in the morning, okay, and you have a schedule. Okay, and you know that this time you have to be doing this, and this has to be done by that, and that has to be done by this. Mm-hmm. Okay, Akiva, if I was in Columbus, and you were sitting here, and I had to wake up tomorrow morning, and I had to fix somebody's security system, somebody would have a really serious problem. Because...
That might be an issue.
I have no clue about circuits and wires and these things, and you know, just, so that would be a problem. That's why I am not in Columbus. And that's why you are. Because... For you, it's not a problem.
Wired for it.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Michael. You're wired for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So this falls into the things. Hashem doesn't ask us to do things according to his abilities, but according to our abilities. Hashem doesn't ask a person to do anything that he can't handle. And it's not that he's getting thrown big rocks and say, oh, here's a bigger rock. Let's see what you can do. Oh, here's a bigger rock. It's like no big deal. There are no big deals out there. Are there things which require immediate attention? Yeah. If there's a fire, You got to put the fire out and get the people out. Yeah. You can't just say the fire is not a fire. The fire is a fire. But you have the ability to deal with the fire. The fire is not a problem. The fire is a fire. And we'll deal with a fire the way the fire is supposed to be dealt with. Okay? And I'm reminded that the Alter Rebbe suffered a fire. In the shtetl, a fire was catastrophic. Because all the houses are like...
Everything goes.
Yeah, there's no way to put out a fire.
Right.
What do you do with buckets? Buckets of water, yeah. Buckets of water are really going to help. And the whole city the whole shtetl would burn down.
Yeah.
And then you have to... What would they do? They would get together and they would rebuild. Okay, so there's a fire in the Alter Rebbe's house, and he lost many books and manuscripts. And he said, did anybody make copies? And his son told him, I think I mentioned the story last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is Chassidus and Mesiras Nefesh?
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Wow. Yeah.
So he says it has to be by Heshava Amitis. We're not talking that going through the motions. I have no problems. I'm getting an ulcer. I have no problems. My blood pressure is way up. I have no problems. Yeah, don't fool yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That person is just saying they have no problems, but is really just internalizing them more and trying to put up a good face. That's not going to help the situation. That's only going to make it worse.
Right.
That's why it says, Asa lecha rav, kain lecha chaver. Why would it? That's it. Midas HaChassidus in Perkei Avos, not a halacha, says that right in the first parak, that you have to have a mentor, you have to have a friend for the purpose of dealing with your problems. Meaning to say, I recognize there's going to be situations that I'm not going to be able to help. I can't do it myself. Listen, it says, Ani Hashem Reifecha. If it would be Taka that I truly believed Hashem Reifecha, then Lahavdil, the Christian scientists, got it right. Problem is I don't believe that. What do I believe? I believe that Hashem created a science called medicine, and people went to medical schools, and they learned that if I have a certain specific malaise, that they're going to be, that Hashem is going to heal me through them. That's what I believe. Is there anything wrong with me believing that? No. There's nothing wrong, because it says, Ani Hashem Reifecha, Hashem made doctors. Okay, if it would have been that what we have to believe that the healing is going to come directly from Hashem with no intermediary, then Jews wouldn't be allowed to become doctors.
Right.
So, but since the joke is that they finally elect a Jewish president, and his mother is so happy, and they have the inauguration, and she's sitting in the audience. And she gives the guy next to her a nudge, and she says, you see that guy up there with his hand on the Bible? She says, yeah, his brother's a doctor.
That's right.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
And a person that good and evil aren't the same? Marim ba'asmo shuhu me'erev rav. He's now indicating to us that who is he? He's from the Erev Rav. Who are the Erev Rav? Well, the Erev Rav was a group of pseudo-convert Egyptians that wanted to come out. They were the hangers-oners that didn't want to get left behind in Egypt because Egypt was losing. And who wants to be with the losers? They wanted to be with the winners. And they had all kinds of problems that came from them. They walked through Yam Suf clutching their idols and saying, Ze Keli V'Anvehu, this idol is my God and I will glorify him. Okay? They didn't give it up. Okay? So, there's an expression in the Gemara of a person like this, is a Tevel V'Sheres B'Yadei. A person, there are certain 8 animals. And so far I've seen about 32 different translations for the 8 animals. I'm not going to list them. That if you touched them or their carcass, you are excluded from going into the Beis HaMikdash. You have to go to mikveh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You go to the mikveh, you can, it's no big deal. You go to the mikveh, and this is what in the Beis HaMikdash, they just, you know, they have like 250 mikvahs on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash, and anybody before they're going to the Beis HaMikdash would go to the mikvah. Voila, you can go to the Beis HaMikdash. It was like protocol. What happens is a guy goes into the mikvah, he comes out, he's taher. What happens if he goes into the water holding one of these animals? So when he's in the water, he's totally surrounded by the water.
Holding some sort of sherets.
He's holding a sherets, yes.
Okay. He's not.
When he's in the water, so he's taher. The water makes it, being totally surrounded by mikvah water, makes a person taher.
They can't hold on then.
As soon as he gets out of the water,
he's tumming.
Okay? So this person, that's what the Eruv Rav is. Okay. He says over here, do you think that a person, I mean, here we are, this is very radical. We're saying over here that a person who says, I have a problem, has a bigger problem than they think. Because his biggest problem is that he thinks he has problems.
He thinks he's got a problem. Yeah, exactly. That's
okay, this is
problem.
What we're talking. We're talking about a God-fearing Jew. We're talking about a guy who puts on tefillin every day. Maybe he puts on two pair of tefillin. Maybe he puts on four pair of tefillin. A person who eats only glatt kosher meat. A person who goes to shul every single day and davens. And only that, he doesn't even talk during davening. We're talking about such a person. Could you imagine?
Rare individual indeed, yes.
And this person thinks he has a problem. So what do we call that person? Oh, he's part of the Eruv Rav.
Oh, wow.
Because the Eruv Rav witnessed the miracles, but they didn't let go.
Yeah.
They still hung on to their idols. This guy's in the mikveh, he coming out of the mikveh, he's still hanging on to the bug. That's what this person is. He really needs to, well, he just said the first part of the chapter. He really needs to realize and come to a true understanding. How do you do it? He gave the prescription right at the beginning of the chapter. Think about the greatness of Hashem. How Hashem is enlivening and creating the world every single second the way it's supposed to be created. And by doing that now, the person will come to this. In earlier chapters, he says, if a person's going to do that, they'll come to a fear and love of Hashem, which is based on an intellectual relationship. And so now he'll take it with him the whole day, this intellectual relationship, and he'll understand there's no such thing as a problem. There's a situation that has to be dealt with. And Hashem is going to help him through it. Hashem is going to give him the kaifas to deal with it. Huma Erev Rav de Garmehu Avdin. Now what does he say about the Erev Rav? They did things for their own needs. The Ayav Esatzmai. And he's involved, he's a narcissist, basically. This person who has a problem. I have a problem. Okay? Big problem there is he's putting himself first before Hashem. Letzeis mitachas yad Hashem ulahachiyais b'chaya umas ha'olam b'shvil ahavasei esatzmai. And the Alter Rebbe doesn't pull any punches. He's living like a guy. Here is this guy is going to shul three times a day, putting on four pairs of tefillin, eating glatt kosher. And the Alter Rebbe is saying, listen, you have non-Jews that are able to do this too. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, this isn't exclusively for Jews to do this. Non-Jews could also not have problems. But this guy is living like the Umas Ayvde Galulin, the idol worshippers. People who are worshiping the stars and saying that the stars have all the power. Cain, mm-hmm.
Right.
Therefore, we just read this, Hu chafes b'chaya b'sarim, v'baneo mezayna. That's why his major focus is on the physical. His health, his family, his sustenance. Ki zeh tov lo. Because that's good. That he sees. Oh, that's no problem. That's a good thing. V'nayach lo. And he's happy about this. He gets lots of nachas. V'nayach lo shalai nivro. It would have been better if such a person never existed. That's pretty strong language. A person whose primary emphasis is in the acquisition of the physical, it would be better that person not be here. Ki ikar b'riyas ha'adam ba'olam hazehu b'shvil lin soisiv in his sionis elu. Because what happens, the main thing that happens in a person's life is that they're being tested with all kinds of tests, these tests. Uladas es asher b'livavai. And to find out what his true metal is, what is in his heart. Im yifna levavai achrei elokim acherim. And if he will turn his heart after some other god. What's the other god? My wife uses the expression smashing the idols. That Abraham went into the store of his father and he smashed all the idols. Okay, and we have to take a lesson from that. We have to smash our own idols. Mm-hmm. What's an idol? An idol is anything that you hold. First of all, you could use the word sacred. I have to. The Rebbe used to make fun of people who had to have 6 ounces of orange juice in the morning. That's an idol. I can't start my day if I don't have my orange juice. My coffee. I worship my coffee. Yeah. So you smash the idol. Does that mean you shouldn't have coffee? No. I mean, you shouldn't. The reason why you wake up is not to have a drink of coffee.
Right.
Okay, but rather the coffee that you have is to get you through the day. Or anything else which is a must or a have to.
Yeah.
Okay? That has to get smashed. Shehem taivis haguf hamistalshel mesitrachra. That what is it that we got to get rid of? Is just the coarse physicalities of the body. And in Kuntres Samayan, he talks about coarse desires of the body. Going and starting with food and sleep, etc., and working up to there to art and music and math. And science, all of these are coarse physical pleasures.
Math is that
you don't understand the pleasure that there is in math.
It's beautiful.
Just like there's certain things. Just like you don't like Brussels sprouts, you don't understand how geschmack a Brussels sprout really is. You don't understand how geschmack learning math is. Okay, I think I told a story not too long ago that I have a friend who is a shliach in Wayne, New Jersey. His name is Gurkov. He grew up around the corner from me in Newark. His father was a professor of mathematics at Rutgers. When he was 18 years old, the Rebbe told him, he's a Lubavitcher, the Rebbe told him that he wants him to go and study Yad Nyan Git Shemesh, become a dayan. He wanted him to become a Rav Poisik Mayri Hayrah. This man was a brilliant. And this 18-year-old said, no, I'm going to university, I'm going to learn mathematics. And the Rebbe said, I also have a taiva to learn mathematics. Yeah. So, meaning, I do too. You know, I also would love to just sit and learn math, but you know, there's responsibilities for other things. But the difference is he didn't listen. He went off and became a math professor. And from what I understand, he became a very good math professor. And from what I understand, that there are many Jews that are now religious because of this religious Jew being their math professor. But, you know, and then there's Mikey Gurkov, who's the shliach in Wayne. Ubehem hu chofetz. And that's what he wants. He wants to, this is called, the fulfillment of pleasure is called hedonism. Mm-hmm. And even though it's 100% kosher, so it's kosher hedonism. Still hedonism.
Yeah, exactly.
I am chafsa v'rtzani li l'chaya is chayim emitim. This maybe, should we run through it? Well, I think we could do this at the end of the chapter. If he wants to live a true life, that the true life comes and is descended through the creation process from the true living God. And it says, even though he may never actually get there, and he says in the brackets, Tzorech Ian, it's from the Tzemach Tzedek, this bracket. You have to look into this. In many of the transcripts that were existent, the manuscripts, the expression "afsheini yochel" is not there. But we did find one where it is existent, and this is the version of the letter, because these are letters, by the way, and the letters were copied one from the other, and so somebody didn't put the words "afsheini yochel" in it. And so maybe there are different versions that went out from the Alter Rebbe. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Oy, im chafza v'ritzayne, or if his will and his desire. Asher enel yachal l'chayas chayim amitim, even though he can't really true life. Lefi nusach zeh, nir shetevas asher enel yachal hu maimer muzker. The asher enel yachal, at this point, we'd say it's a parenthetical statement at best. Okay, because everybody is. The Alter Rebbe recognizes that a person, it's hard to give up their taivas.
Yeah.
Avraham Lipsker, he should live to be well, long healthy years, used to say, you take an example of a two-year-old, okay? One of the most difficult things to dealing with a two-year-old is potty training. Because kid doesn't want to give it up. He's got a diaper on. It's very soft. It's squishy. It's comfortable. Doesn't smell to him. He can't smell anything. Okay, everybody in the room is gagging because you're talking a two-year-old. This is a person who is a kid who eats stuff. Okay, but for him, don't bother me. I'm fine. And the parent wants to change the kid? No, it's warm over here. I got a warm bottom finally. No, yeah. So that's what giving up our taivas is like.
It's a good motion for adults.
Yeah.
Some people just like to sit in their own shtus.
They're sitting in their own crap, exactly. Wallowing would be a better word. V'yamin ba'emes v'hu chai ba'hem kol tzarchi v'kol inyanim istalshin ba'emes b'prati protesehem shaloi mesitra achra. And a person should see that his needs and everything that he has, they're all the details that they're not coming from the Sitra Achra. Ki Hashem mitzadei gavur kainana. Hashem directs the footsteps of man. Ve'ein mila, and there is not anything that comes from above. There's nothing from below that doesn't come from above. Okay, so. I mean, it's a strange thing in the pursuit of pleasure. We don't understand this idea of the pursuit of pleasures. Some people actually do like Brussels sprouts. Some people like mathematics. They really get turned on by it. Okay? Some people can't understand. How is that possible? Okay? But it's a physical pleasure, and everybody has to understand that not saying that a person has to eat Brussels sprouts. It clearly says in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to eat fish on Shabbos. But if you don't like fish on Shabbos, if you don't like fish, then you're not allowed to eat fish on Shabbos. Because the whole point of Shabbos is Lizan against the Shabbos, is to find delight in the Shabbos. And if you have to eat fish on Shabbos and you hate fish, then you're not going to take any delight in the Shabbos. You're going to be approaching the Shabbos with dread.
Mm-hmm. I know somebody, they don't make a bracha on alcohol because they don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd avoid it instead.
Okay, so avoid it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just take a sip and that's it.
Yeah, okay. I once heard a very smart rabbi say that anybody who likes the taste of alcohol has a serious problem. and that is talking about a problem.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
The Emil of Im Kane Hakel Tev Betachlis. Everything is the ultimate good. Raksha'ena Musay. We just don't understand it. We don't understand all these things that are flying at us, how they are the ultimate good. Uba'amuna zuba emes nasa hakil tev. And what happens is we're not resigning ourselves and saying gamzu l'teva because we have achieved this level of amun and faith in Hashem and trust betachan in Hashem. Everything becomes good. Begiloi. That if something bad and awful is happening, it's coming from Hashem. Shehu Chachmasi Yisbarach She'enu Musagis, that Hashem's intellect, which is where all this is coming from, and where is this being derived, at the beginning part of the Seder Yisalshus, the creation process, is Hashem's Chachma, and Hashem is a Chachma, not with a Chachma that we can understand. V'hu Eden Shelamay L'Me'elam Abba. And we said at the beginning, in the onset of the chapter last week, that this is what Eden is. You have the Garden of Eden, you have Eden. The Garden of Eden is in Bina. Eden is in Chachma. That's Eden is related to the level of delight. Ma'adanim, which is higher than Olam Haba. And Olam Haba, we said, is only as a result of a person's comprehension. What a person was able to appreciate from all the good that he did during the course of his lifetime. The higher level is just to have a tainug which is beyond intellect. That's what this emuna does. Is it real? It elevates the person to have a godly delight in godliness, not because he understands it. And what happens now is when a person does approach all of his problems like this, then the source from whence these problems come, because these problems are coming to him, they are coming through Sitra Achra, but because he's not dealing it in the terms of Sitra Achra, he's approaching it from the Kedusha Dikaway, so he's now elevating that kernel of Kedusha which is contained in the Sitra Achra, which is the highest, the vitality of that problem. People have to remember that not only is it that a physical thing is enlivened by Hashem, but also time is enlivened by Hashem. And all the circumstances that are happening right now to this person are all contain a spark of godliness. And because he has a munah in Hashem, that ultimately everything is for the good, this then elevates that spark of Kedusha that is in that situation which is presenting itself to him. And he elevates it to the good and the that is hidden within it. To be continued next week, chapter 12.